This is Scenic Roots, our guest this afternoon, recorded in the studio on the second floor of the Chattanooga Downtown Library, is singer, songwriter, and guitarist Eric Turner, known to almost everyone as E.T.
Hello, this is E.T., and this is Shadow. Back in time and see my shadow. Can't feel the things I don't want to know. It hurts a thousand times, my soul is rattled. I miss you so much now, I want you to know that I try to fill the time with reasons that can never rhyme. Hoping for a light to shine on life unkind. Of life in it together. What's with all of this stormy weather? So much crying that my eyes stay dry. Not even one of these solitary days go by that I don't take my head. Try to keep pushing for the light to shine. To shine. I just try to pass the This one is called Fragile Band. When she failed, he went down deep into hell. She couldn't hardly explain, he didn't understand pain. I thought I knew them so well. Before the fog was the prime, and all the bad stuff inside. Trying hard to stay sane, is it all just some game designed to mess with your mind? Well, hold on. Sometimes the ground breaks the fall. Sometimes there's no breaks at all. Sometimes the heartbreak gets you, hold it close to your chest, because you just can't be wrong. I got a cup when I fell. I went down deep into hell yesterday. I couldn't hardly explain. I didn't understand pain. I thought I knew me so well. Before the fall goes to pride, and all that bad stuff inside, trying hard to stay sane. Is it all just some game designed to mess with your mind? Well, hold on. Don't give up on me yet, 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 yet. I'm still a broken down. I still can be found. Don't forget, don't forget. Well, hold on. They still got me fell. Don't forgive, don't forget. This song is called The Walk. Same old lines, and we've done fought so many times. I got lost in a field of landmine. I just thought in the end I'd wake up. Took a fall, fell down next to me. What I saw made it plain to see. I was wrong so many times and then saw. And this song hopes to right some wrongs I've done. I never know what to say. Always say the wrong thing anyway. It doesn't it price you know pay, but it just back on our word so many times, it's just downright absurd. But I'll keep trying because I care. Yeah, and you'll keep trying too. We both know love. Say Try to do the right thing. My papa Willie Strum taught me how to play guitar, and I wrote this song to honor him. It's called Calluses, but everybody calls it the Papa Song. Well, my papa taught me guitar. He told me I should practice hard and play them strings until my fingers bleed. He told me I could go far and not to let my head get large. And when you write a song, it's a good deed. So I learned the chords he wrote down, practiced them till I broke down, had to rest my fingers from the pain. Well, I put it down, I picked it up, I learned to play old Skinner stuff as well as the Beatles and Mr. Tommy James. Papa taught me guitar. He also served our country during war. Now I remember the time he took me down. Spit was flying out his mouth as we hit the ground. And I never talked to Granny that way anymore. Now when Papa played, he would slay it. Name any instrument he could play it. Press them strings so deep into my brain. Well, I learned to play all kinds of stuff, and mostly I just mess it up. But my ass is up here trying just to say, hey, hey. Papa taught me guitar, he taught me how to work hard. Told me many ways for me to soothe my soul. That old heart rally. I'm so glad he turned me on to that rock and roll.
Eric Turner, E.T. from the studio in the Chattanooga Downtown Library.
A lot of what I play is breweries, restaurants, bars, stuff like that, and I'm just kind of background music, so I really get to play whatever I want as long as it's not, you know, offensive. Or what I do with that is kind of turn people on to music that I like
that I think they would like too. So it ranges from Elvis and Johnny Cash to the Toadies, Whitney Houston. I played the Market this past weekend and I got a lot of response from Whitney Houston and Elvis. Elvis was the biggest deal. I got the biggest response from it. But the greatest thing about that is, and really, if I play family friendly places, the biggest excitement I get is from kids, especially when they start dancing, you know, and especially the little ones that are, you know, one, two, whatever, you know, just kind of moving with it. And they'll look at you and then they'll get that big old smile on their face. And I love it.
They're feeling it.
Yeah.
They're feeling it.
I love it because I remember people influencing me, mainly my papa. He's probably the biggest influence on me. He played a lot of the boogie-woogie type stuff, you know, Hot Rod Lincoln and that type of thing. So I always was fascinated with that. And I'm still not as good of a picker as he was. I'm more of a strummer. But
was he in a band? Or
no, he was just him. And he played everything. I mean, he played piano, the handsaw. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody play the handsaw, but he was
with a bow?
No, he played it with a block of wood. He just hit it and let it ring and then bend the saw for the notes. He's an amazing guy, and now he's got dementia, and he doesn't really know who we are, but if anybody goes over to visit him, he entertains the whole time. He picks up the guitar, plays some stuff, sits down at the piano, plays some stuff.
So he was a seminal influence for you.
Very much.
Yeah. And what did you take away from that? Just the kind of music he played, or just that he played?
Really not even the kind of music. It was just that he played and he taught me. And like in the song I talk about, because he told me when I started, when I wanted to learn, he was like, I'll show you the chords. And what he did is just drew them out on a piece of paper, and then he drew where my finger would go. And that's how I learned all of the main chords. But he told me, he was like, your fingers are going to hurt. And he was like, I want you to just keep pushing. When your fingers hurt, push harder. He was like, and eventually you'll get these calluses. They won't hurt anymore. And that the name of the song is called Calluses, or A Good Deed, but everybody calls it the Pawpaw Song. But that's how I got started, is forcing myself to press down the strings whenever I was just, you know, in so much pain.
You have calluses on your fingers now?
Oh, I do, yeah. I could probably stick a needle in the end of all of them and not feel it.
How long does it stay like that if you don't play?
I haven't found that out for a while. I play every day, so
I guess maybe a better question, especially for somebody who's just trying to learn the guitars. How long is it before you
develop
the calluses?
It takes a little while. It really does. It's all about repetition, you know. So with any part of the body, if you rub it up against something on a frequent basis, it'll develop a callus there. So I've got them on my hands, on the, you know, on the palm knuckles and everything too, right there beside that beautiful bruise.
So it desensitizes them in effect.
Yes. Yeah,
which is ironic because you're using it to do something that's very sensitive.
Exactly, yeah.
When did you start playing? I mean, after your granddad gave you the lessons and all the rest of it, and you started to develop the calluses and so on. So then when did you first start gigging?
Gigging, probably 15. I would go out to...
Really?
Yeah, I would go out to open mics here. Well, I grew up in a really sheltered household, so I wasn't allowed to really do much, and that's addressed in the song as well. But I moved in with my mother when I was 15, and she would take me downtown to it was a place called Don Quixote's, and it's used to be Sake Sui. I don't know what it is now, but it's still the building is still there. But I remember I was like 15 years old, and I would go down there, and eventually I'd gone in so many times that they would serve me beer. They'd serve me, that's where I started drinking Coronas with lime in it. And they were like, no, you put the lime in it and then turn it upside down like this. And that's where I learned all that too. But I used to have some really good times at that open mic. I've actually got a picture somewhere that I saw not too long ago that's from there. Because it's a world away and a different time away now. But yeah, those were the days. But that's how I got started, is open mic.
On Scenic Roots, live in the library, our guest is Eric Turner.
All right, this is Tao of Chase. Mm-hmm. asking for. All I ask for is a break. From this heavy pain, kind of difference doesn't make. I can't let myself, I can't make myself let go. Just don't know how to, didn't want to see you go. But I don't get to choose. I keep in who I lose. Breaks me at the knees. I just wish it wasn't so. Friends and memory and words I wanna say. Kill or comfort me on my hardest days. But I don't get to choose. Who I keep and who I lose. No, I don't get to choose. This song about getting out of town. It's called Harder Than Hell. Well, I was thinking of running the day I was coming to the end of the road. So they say it was harder than hell, and I knew damn well I had less than nothing to say. You'll end up somewhere, someday. I sit on that bus bound for LA. I was troubled at nothing, always looked for something that might help me change my way. That might help me change. Looking for lovers under the covers can be alone at the end of the day. Don't you settle for less than getting the best from the one who shares all of your days. You'll end up somewhere, someday. I sit on that bus bound for. Something that might help you change your ways. That might help you change your ways.
I remember you stuttered when you mentioned your mother, and how you miss her more every day. Well, I think she'd be proud of how you get out when you see someone done the wrong way. I wish I had answers to the next move like dancers. I guess I said all of these just to say, find the fire inside you, then let it guide you. Everything's gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be okay. I was thinking of running the day I was coming to the say. It was harder than hell, and I knew damn well I had less than nothing to say. Don't you settle for less than getting the best from the one who shares all of your days. Find the fire inside you, then let it guide you. Everything's gonna be okay. Is everything gonna be okay?
All right.
Eric Turner, E.T., live from the studio in the Chattanooga Downtown Library on Scenic Roots.
Wrote this song not too far into quarantine, after I started missing my work family.
I miss my friends, like the dance that won't end. Aloneness can be, I wonder if they've made me. I never drank, I backed away from my brain. They exhale me into the bar family. Dishes can wait, it's like that old finger, babe. Yeah, probably still clocking late. When we're free from home, yeah. I never thought we'd all get caught up in our days without too much to say. Thursday's insane, dishwash me. Glasses can wait, just like that old finger, babe. Yeah, yeah. Probably still clocking late. When we're free from home, yeah. I love my friend in the days that won't end. All in my heart, feelings can't wait. Please hear me well. I love all my friends. I miss the sound of that. This song's about being unstoppable. How much more of a sign do you need than getting knocked back down to your knees? How will I overcome these troubles that are troubling me?
Eric Turner, E.T. from the studio in the Chattanooga Downtown Library.
And what was that experience like for you? What did you learn from that?
How to not be nervous. What I learned is that it takes me about a song or half a song to a song, sometimes two, to get really into it. By the time I get up on the stage, any time I play, I'm a nervous wreck, really. You know,
that's a good thing, though, right?
It is. I think a lot of it's just because I care about, you know, what it's going to come off as. Mm. I don't want to get up there and people be like, "Oh, this is not entertaining at all." You know, so
and you're not indifferent. You're committed to what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you never know what kind of reaction you're going to get and what kind of performance you're going to give, because it's all in the moment.
Yeah, you're right. And especially when I go like these out-of-town places I've never played before, you know, you just don't know what to expect. And you can ask ahead of time, like, kind of what genres, era, all that that they think people might like. But most of them are like, oh, just play whatever. And that is never the case.
No, they just don't know.
Right. They just don't know. And then you get there and then you get these requests and you're like, okay, I don't know that, but here's as close as I can get. I'll learn that one for next time I come down, you know.
It is a bit of a human jukebox kind of thing, huh?
Yeah, it really is.
And how many songs do you know?
Oh, hundreds.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can call them to mind if somebody asks you for them?
Most of them. Mostly the music I can recall and play through just about any song I've ever learned. With knowing so many songs, I do keep a lyric book because I'll blank out on lyrics, you know. But usually I know which songs those are going to be if I haven't played something in, you know, 6 months, a year or something like that. I feel better having the lyrics there, knowing that I won't have to sit there and search my head while I'm playing and possibly just turn into a train wreck.
So we're in an ideal situation where you can play just whatever you want and the audience is going to love it. What would you play?
Originals, really.
Would you?
Yeah. And that's kind of a selfish thing where I'm coming from with that, because it's just when people get the song that you wrote and people identify with it or just like it, you know, or just clap, you know, or whatever, for something that I've written, it's a different feeling than just having played something and just entertained them, you know. Even though, like I was saying, it's the songs that I choose to do are generally songs that I know people will probably know the artist, but they may not know the particular song. And if they don't know the artist, it's somebody who I think they should know, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Guns N' Roses Lies album that they put out in the beginning, because it's covers. And in the liner notes, they talk about going and buying the album. Like, if you like the song, go and buy the album that this song is on, because these are the albums that influenced us to play music, you know. So I've always had that, ever since I read it, I just had it in the back of my head that that's kind of like my mission. If I'm playing somebody else's music, I should be playing at the very least something that I love, but something that people are going to get something out of, you know. So,
well, I have to tell you, Eric, I mean, your take on the Waylon Jennings song, that's yours. You know, when I was listening to it, I wasn't hearing Waylon. I was hearing Eric interpreting Waylon. Yeah. And I thought it was great because I know the song. So I guess because I know the song, I could focus on your performance and could appreciate what you were doing.
I appreciate
it. Because
that.
While you approximated the tempo shifts and the phrasing, it was yours, not Waylon's.
Yeah, I've been playing that song for a long time. That was, well, it is the first Waylon / Billy Joe Shaver song that I ever learned. And then I recorded it. Everybody was like, you should put that on YouTube. And I've put, I don't know how many videos, a lot on YouTube. And that is the one. I still, every week or two, I'll get one or two comments about, you know, I've had one that's like, you know, you shouldn't do this song, but all the rest of them are like, man, you really did this a good, some justice. And the last one was like, I think he said, it took me two notes to hit the like button. So, and that's, you know, that's really gratifying. But it's because it's just a great song. Living son, I done did everything that needs done. Woe is me, why can't I see? I best believe in weather never long. Them neon light nights couldn't stay out of fights. Them keep a haunting me a memory. There's one in every crowd for crying out loud. Why was it always turning out to be me? Where does it all go? The good Lord only knows. Seems like it was just the other day. I was down at Green Gables, a-hawking them tables, and generally blowing all my hard-earned pay. Piano road blues, danced holes in my shoes. There weren't another of the
where to be for lovable losers, no account boozers, and honky tonk heroes like me. Hey, hey.
It is a great song, but I'm wondering, you know, when you approach other people's work like that, how do you get inside the song? Because you want to get inside the song, right? So yeah. You can make it at least in part your own.
Well,
you're talking about playing Elvis's music, for instance.
Right. Yeah. Well, when I first started out, I thought that for me, the whole idea was to sound as close to it as possible. Mm-hmm. You know? And I do want to do that with most of what I do. I don't want to stray too far from it.
Well, people don't like you messing with it, right? They want to be able to recognize
it. Right. But they also, and same with myself, I'm not really keen on somebody doing a cover and trying to sound exactly like the artist and not. About 3 weeks before I came out to play again, I went through my book. I started at the beginning, and I would play for like an hour, however long, you know, however many songs I could fit in. And I just did that every day, just going through my book, kind of trying to remember the songs that I would have a hard time with and playing them a couple times. But you really have to I really have to have played the song somewhat recently, you know, for me to feel comfortable just winging it without looking at the lyrics or whatever.
Well, I can see why. And you know, you were talking about the rock and roll as an attitude, and we all know that.
Yeah.
But all music to some degree is an attitude, right?
It is.
So it's a mindset, I would think, if you're going to play all 50s songs, and you have to sort of get in a 50s mindset, right?
Yeah.
It's a different approach to singing and playing.
It is. And a lot of what, like, I like biographical. I like those kind of facts about musicians more than just the music, because I like to know where they were coming from in the first place. Like Bruce Springsteen's autobiography is mind-blowing. If you're a musician or an artist at all, you need to read it, because it is about doing what you feel like you're supposed to be doing, even if every single thing else in the world is against that, you know? And so it's kind of like the attitude about that is kind of knowing where those artists were coming from. Like Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, a lot of people don't know that the whistling at the end of it was not intended to be on the recording. He whistled that as a melody. He was going to come back and sing another verse, but he didn't get the chance. He died 3 days after he recorded that song. So we ended up with the whistling, which is iconic. It'll be a song that people whistle forever, you know? So it's just kind of weird how things work out. But when I know a little bit about the song and the artist and whatever, it is a lot easier to kind of come across like they were, because they were all addressing different things through different eras. You know, there's, some of them were social injustices, you know, like Blackbird. A lot of people don't realize what Blackbird, the Beatles song, is about. But, you know, when you understand what the song is really about, then you can kind of, for me anyway, I can kind of perform it like I think I should perform it. You know, maybe not how it should, everyone should perform it, but how I should come at it.
And it seems to me that that's how a lot of songwriters find their way into making their own music, is through playing and listening to other people's music. So with the wide range of stuff that you've been playing, when you come to write and play your own stuff, does that influence you at all?
It does, and it's wild, because I used to have the opinion that all of my songs, I wanted to write songs that people would enjoy, you know, and I still do want to do that. But when I write a song now, it's because I have something in me that needs to come out. And generally it's bad stuff, you know, but things that I'm dealing with that aren't comfortable, you know, outside of my comfort zone is what inspires my lyrics, especially. A lot of times the mood of the music or whatever. But I'll go through little phases of listening to different things, you know, but I've got a playlist on Spotify that's a I don't guess it's my playlist, but Release Radar. And it's pretty good about nailing songs that I would love, but it is all over the place. It'll be, you know, a country artist, and then it'll be a metal artist, and then it'll be a funk, and then blues, and then, you know, I just get turned on to a lot of new music too. And so I don't really necessarily think it shapes how I write at the time, but I think overall I kind of gather what I gather from it, and then eventually it kind of, I make it mine. So I don't ever try to sound like anybody or anything. I used to always get Alice in Chains. Every time I played, it was, "You sound like Alice in Chains." And then I get Waylon, and then Sam actually told me today, he was like, "I kind of get the Waylon and that band with Layne Staley." And I was like, that's, you know, I get that a lot. And it's, those are probably two of the most influential artists for me, you know. There's lots of others, you know, Beatles and everything, but those really always stuck at Waylon. Just talk about attitude. You know, he didn't even have to have an attitude to, he was attitude, you know. And then Layne Staley, I guess that was so influential because I'd started writing songs way back, you know, 15, 16 years old, and went over to record some, and I thought I needed somebody to sing the songs because I didn't like the way that I sang them. And I liked the way they turned out and everything, but the wife of the guy who was recording us, she was like, you're holding back. She was like, just sing, just press it. She was like, you can sing all this stuff. You think you can't, but you can sing it. You have the range. And really, Alice in Chains' Facelift album, I would sit and try to sing along and try to reach those notes and everything. And eventually I was able to kind of learn how to breathe and kind of pay attention to what I was doing as far as going too high when I couldn't reach it, going too low when I couldn't reach it, and just doing, you know, fitting in the right note, but just on whatever octave I could get to. And so Layne Staley's really, I didn't really form my voice after him, but I was singing along with him when I really kind of developed how.
So it's almost like a subliminal thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always going to be there, I'm pretty sure.
All right. This last one is where I come from. Hometown GA is Rossville, Georgia for me. Hometown Georgia. Driving into my hometown, I see the houses on the hill, almost like they're looking down on the streets that tried my will. on the boulevard of porn and shoes and the annual parade. It's where I learned of God and booze and the first time I got laid. Over there's the barber shop that used to cut my hair. And up the road's where life was at until it got unfair. I don't get by Mama's grave too much beside her on the hill. It's Papa Hood who worked this town for the people and that mill. Wish that I'd known what I know now when I was growing up in Rossville. I'd probably make the same mistakes that I always did. It's like that broken down old mill. This town has seen some better days. I've been away too long, but I'm back to finish a dream I had about writing down this song. Almost like an act of God that brought me back again, back to the place I lost my way, where the years turned black as sin. When I headed out, it was drugs and hate, there was never going back. I ran upstate to get away, instead my demons stacked. I spent years chasing pain, replaced everything with drink. It took living dead to prove myself. I didn't know how to think. I wish that I'd known. I was growing up in Rossville. Probably make the same mistakes that I always did. It's like that broken down old mill. This town has seen some better days. I've been away too long, but I'm back to finish a dream I had about writing down this song. So things are very different now. I've had some time for growing up. Fellowship my way to sanity, but somehow I am still screwed up. It took twice the time I wasted to find out who was inside of me. I just wanna make my mama proud. I feel like she can see me while I'm here beside her grave. I ain't ashamed of where I come from. Sometimes in the dreams I had about writing down this song. Time I wasted to find out who's inside of me. I just wanna make my family proud when they look down on me.
Eric Turner, universally known as E.T., recorded live in the Chattanooga Downtown Library in the state-of-the-art recording studio. It's on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library in downtown Chattanooga. These sessions are recorded with artists, many of them from Chattanooga, but not by any means exclusively. Increasingly, people from other parts of the state are wanting to come down and play in the studio. The sessions are recorded on Wednesday afternoons, mixed and engineered by the redoubtable Sam Mansell. The executive producers for the series are me, Richard Winham, for WUTC, and Sam for the library. And we will have another session recorded live in the library here on Scenic Roots next Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
I guess we're done here.